It's good to see everybody that's here this morning. I'm looking forward to our service tonight. As we've been talking about, we're going to be doing things a little bit different on Sunday evenings, as we have the hope this year of growing in our lives of prayer. So I hope that you're able to come back and be with us tonight, and we're just kind of going to try to be developing some things and just kind of see where it goes with time. So I'm looking forward to it, and I hope that you'll be with us tonight. I'm going to begin this a little bit like how Troy started his talk on Wednesday night. It's the beginning of the year, and so we all know what that means. We're thinking about resolutions, about what we want to achieve in the year ahead, about the goals that we might have for what 2020 holds. If you look up the most common New Year's resolutions, they're pretty much the same year after year. If you look up most common resolutions in 2017, most common resolutions in 2018, 2019, and I assume 2020, you find the same basic list year after year. People want to eat healthier. They want to lose weight. They want to spend less money. And as I thought about that, it occurred to me that we must not be very good at keeping these resolutions. Because it would just seem to be the case that if we were, people wouldn't make the same ones year after year. That tells me that we probably don't do a real good job of sticking with it. But there's a verse in the Bible that's oftentimes referenced when people are talking about goals or trying to achieve something. And it's Philippians 3:14, which we just read. I press on toward the goal. And you can find that verse being used in all different ways and find it on motivational posters as we think about what we want to achieve in the new year. If you want to eat healthier, press on toward the goal. If you want to lose weight, press on toward the goal. If you want to make better grades in school, press on toward the goal. And we have these verses in the Bible. And I think it's good for us to use a verse for encouragement. I'm not trying to discourage or disparage that. We have some things in our home that have a Bible verse on it. But I think that what happens with some of these popular verses is that we get real familiar with them and we use them in all different kinds of contexts, and maybe we then don't go back to look at what really is being talked about there. What really is the goal that's being talked about, as Paul writes to the people in Philippi, talking about pursuing a goal and pressing on. And so that's what I want us to do this morning, is look at those verses. As this is a time of year when we do tend to think about goals, we've got a verse here that talks about trying to achieve a goal. But what is it that's really being talked about? And as we do this, I want us to try to go backward through this text. So I want us to look at verse 14. And then we'll go to verse 13, and then to 12, and then to 11 and 10, and try to figure out what is the goal that's being talked about. Oftentimes, if we can go back to the source of something, we can figure it out. I remember a few times this past year, some of the roads around here were flooded. And if you followed that water back, you could find the source of it. You could find where it's all flowing out of. Philippians 3 verse 14 is flowing out of something. And so we're going to try to track that back to its source and see what's being talked about there. So as we look at Philippians 3 and verse 14, it says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. There'll be a few times in these verses where we have some language of pressing on, or of something that's not yet fully achieved yet. And that's why we press on. And it says that he presses on. He says, I press on toward the goal for the prize. We want to attain that goal so we can have the prize. The word goal here is a word that conveys the idea of a target. We would think of it, about it as being like a target, of trying to hit something. Think about playing a game at a festival somewhere. You try to hit the target, and if you hit the target, you get the prize. Well, that's a simplistic sort of concept, but maybe it helps us think a bit about what's being talked about here, that we have something we're trying to achieve. We've got a target of sorts that we're trying to hit so that we can get the prize. This is most likely some sort of athletic type of an imagery here, trying to come to the end, trying to finish the race kind of a thing, so that you can have the prize. You achieve the goal to get the prize. And the translation here speaks of the upward call. It's a prize associated with the upward call. The King James Version here translates it as a high calling, the high calling. We use that sort of language even in our own times. We'll talk about somebody having a high calling or a particular vocation as being a high calling. We think about things that are high as things that are going in a good, noble, honorable direction. We'll also talk about things that are low. Somebody says, oh, that was low. Well, that's not good. We know that. We speak about things that are high and things that are low. The NIV translates this as heavenward. That we have a heavenward calling or an invitation. And I wonder if we can think about this in terms, perhaps, of a heavenly invitation that we have. If you get invited somewhere, or even if you have a reservation somewhere, there's still things that you're going to have to do. You're going to have to strive. You're going to have to press on. If you have an invitation to go to a restaurant, well, you still have to get ready, you get dressed, you get in the car, you drive to the restaurant, you find the table and where your party is. And even if we say that we have a heavenly invitation or a heavenly reservation, well, we still have to press on toward the goal for the prize. As we move backward, as I said we would try to do this morning, to verse 13, trying to get closer to the source of where this is all flowing out of, verse 13 says, Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. We again see this language of not having it yet. I haven't laid hold of it yet. And it then mentions a couple of things which will help us toward the goal. The first of those is having what we might call a singular focus. It says, one thing I do. This one thing. We tend to place a lot of emphasis on multitasking. We talk about people who are able to multitask, and I can do this and this, and I can have my attention in these different places. And there's times where that's good, but what this verse is saying is encouraging us in our spiritual lives to have a singular focus. This one thing I do. just one thing that I'm striving for. And as part of having that singular focus, it's also a forward-looking focus. Forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward. We've all probably had the experience of realizing that you go in the direction where you look. Where your eyes are focused tends to be the direction where you go. Some treadmills will have a sign on them that says, "Look straight ahead." Because probably somebody somewhere has been on that treadmill and started looking everywhere. And when you look in a place, that's where your feet tend to go. And if you take your eyes off of where you should be focused, you end up falling. You end up stumbling. Or if you're driving a car, you tend to turn where you look. If you look this way long enough, you start to go that way. And so it says in this verse, one thing I do, and this one thing, part of this one thing is going in the right direction and looking in the right direction, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. Well, as we continue to move backward, we come to verse 12. Not that I have already obtained it, or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that, for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. We see again this language of not yet. And because of the not yet, there's a pressing on. I haven't yet obtained it. I'm not yet perfect. It's not yet fully mine. So I press on so that I may lay hold of it. Well, when we get into verses 10 and 11, it would seem that we're getting closer to the source of where all this is flowing out of. This goal and prize and the pressing on so that we can have what we don't yet fully have. It says in verses 10 and 11, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Verse 11 would seem to really be getting at what we're talking about here. What is the prize that we really want? Well, it is in order, he says, that I may attain the resurrection from the dead. And implied in that is knowing Christ and then fully being with Christ. Baptism is spoken of as being a resurrection that we experience in this life. Romans 6 talks about baptism as being like our resurrection that does place us in Christ. But the resurrection that is baptism anticipates really a resurrection to come, when we will be raised, and if we're found faithful, that we will be with Christ, we will be with God, we will be with those who are His for all of eternity. And as we think about the goal and the prize, that really is a prize unlike any other. We can receive some prizes in this life, but all of those prizes are going to fail, or pale, I guess, right? Pale in comparison to being with Christ for all time. Jesus was resurrected from the dead and then went to be with the Father. But what happened before Jesus was resurrected? What had to happen in order for that to occur? Well, Jesus died. And he died a very painful and shameful and humiliating death before the resurrection. And when we look at verse 10, and it says, the fellowship of his sufferings, or the word there is to have a participation in, or a sharing in, having fellowship in his sufferings. If we are going to attain that resurrection in the time when we are raised, and if we are found faithful to be with God, well, before all of that happens, we're going to experience some suffering. And what I sense in this verse is not only an understanding that that's the case, but even a longing for that to be the case, that I may be able to share in the suffering of Christ. Wrapped up in all of this language of the goal and the prize and wanting to attain to this, wrapped up in all of that is also the language of suffering. The realization that on this side of things, we're going to suffer. We're going to have pain. That there will be persecutions. In our times, we want to do all that we can to be comfortable and to not have any pain or suffering. And I mean, nobody likes to suffer. Nobody really likes pain from that standpoint. And yet we know that we will have pain and we will have suffering. And when we look at the New Testament and we try to think about the mindset of the early church, the mindset was that persecution is a good thing. Persecution is not something to be avoided at all costs, but rather it's going to be part of your life of faith, and that it's even a good thing, and that that's going to be when the church grows, and that that's going to be evidence that you are being faithful when persecution comes your way. And so when we think about sharing in the suffering of Christ, well, if we as disciples take up our cross and we live for Him, it ought to be the case that there's times where we experience suffering because of that. I want to just go through the New Testament and look at some of the verses which touch on this, and just kind of do a quick survey of the New Testament. Matthew 5, verses 10 through 12. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The parallel passage to this is in Luke 6, 22 and 23. Blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you and insult you and scorn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man. Be glad in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way their fathers used to treat the prophets. Well, as we come into the book of Acts, the time of the early church, we see the early followers of Jesus taking on this mindset of being glad when they were persecuted, because to them it was evidence that their faith was being seen, and that they were walking in the path of their Lord. Acts 5, verse 41, for example. So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for His name. In the book of Romans, Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And then 1 Peter 4, verses 13 through 16. But rejoice in so far as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. So what is it that we want to achieve? What are some of our goals? I think we could have a lot of good goals or a lot of good resolutions. And Troy did a great job on Wednesday night. We've said as a congregation, one of our goals is to try to grow in our lives of prayer. But one of the goals that I wanted us to encourage us to think about as I thought about these verses in Philippians and the word goal and prize there is having the goal of being with Christ and with God for all of eternity, but maybe taking it a little beyond that and to say that if that is our goal, then we also have to realize that there's going to be suffering as part of that, or that there should be, as the verse said that we read, all who desire to live godly will suffer persecution. And if we could go back to the earliest of churches, I really believe that we would find a mindset among some there who embraced the suffering, who embraced the persecution, as the believers in Acts rejoiced that they saw themselves as being worthy to suffer because Christ suffered. Jesus' obedience to the Father was seen by others. And He suffered. And when our obedience to the Father is seen, there will be times when we suffer. And so maybe a good New Year's resolution for us could be Philippians 3, 10 and 11. And I've taken this reading from the New Living Translation. I've found the New Living Translation oftentimes to be very good at really getting at the sentiment of a verse. So let's listen to this reading as we conclude. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised Him from the dead. I want to suffer with Him sharing in His death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Well, as we've mentioned this morning, one of the resurrections that we experience in our lives, that we must experience, is the resurrection which is baptism. When we are given new spiritual life, when we are raised, buried and raised to be new. And that itself can be cause for suffering and for persecution. When you decide to truly change, to truly be a new person, that can be a painful process. And yet it's something that we must all do. And it is the moment when we are placed in Christ and when we receive our new life, so that we can have the hope of attaining that resurrection from the dead and being with Christ, as we've talked about this morning, hitting that target, attaining that goal, so that we can have the prize. And so let us all resolve, have a resolution this year, that we will press on, that we will forget what lies behind, that we will press on to what is ahead, so that we can have the goal and have the prize. If we can help you this morning, won't you please come forward as we stand and sing.